forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Work Stew.
Hello and welcome to Work Stew. It's October 29th, 2013, and this is episode number 70. I'm Kate Gase Walton. I'm the editor of Work Stew, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. In this episode, I speak with a former corrections officer. She requested anonymity because correctional facilities are sensitive about granting interviews, and even though she no longer works there, she doesn't want any trouble. So I won't be using her name, and I won't be mentioning the state in which she worked. But she was interested in sharing her story and having her perspective heard. I began by asking how she came to take the job in the first place. How was it that you found yourself taking that job?
Yeah, it sounds really terrible, but I was looking for a job and I happened upon a post on just a random employment website. I just queried for jobs in my state, and that was one of the first things that popped up, was one of the highest wages, and I met every single qualification. So it kind of fell into my lap and it felt right at the time.
And what are the qualifications to work in a corrections facility?
There is a very short list of physical things that you have to meet. They're pretty basic, just for any job where you could have a physical altercation with a detainee. So that, and then obviously your GED or your high school diploma and a valid driver's license and the ability to carry a weapon.
And how was the job described? Like, what were the responsibilities that, you know, were advertised, and how did those map to what you actually found yourself doing when you were on the job?
It was very, very vague. There is very little information in the actual posting that they had put up. So I was kind of just winging it on my first day. Basically, I had cobbled together this crazy idea of what it would be from, you know, all the lockup and the TV shows that you see, like on Discovery, all of that stuff. And I would have to say that it was wildly inaccurate. What I actually experienced was not nearly this hyper-dramatized craziness that you see on TV. What you're seeing on TV is probably 1% on the outside of what actually happens. You know, it's not somebody getting stabbed every day. It's not a fight every 5 minutes. I mean, those incidents, that rate is so, so low. It's amazing.
So is it actually kind of boring?
I would hesitate to use the word boring, because there's always some sort of shenanigans when you have 600 plus adult males locked in a building together. But I mean, it was certainly not nearly as dramatic as you would think it would be.
Right. So the facility that you worked at, and we are purposefully not naming the facility or the state that you worked in, was an all-male facility, it sounds like.
Yes, it was. It was all adult male.
Yeah. And were there other female employees there, or were you a distinct minority?
We were very much in the minority on security staff. I would say that there were probably all told on all of the shifts, a maximum of 15 at the most. And this is out of probably 60 employees that actually worked in the housing units with inmates.
And what was that like for you? I mean, was that a dynamic that you felt you were aware of, or, you know, was it not actually a big deal to be a woman working in a facility like that?
It depends on your outlook. You will make or break your experience as a woman in corrections. I don't want to sound like I'm whining, but there is definitely some bias, because it is a traditionally very, very masculine job. And for a very good reason, because when things do go really, really wrong, you are hampered in some ways as a female. You know, obviously you can't strip search a male inmate. If there's an emergency, you have to get somebody out. It's going to take an extra few minutes, and that can really, really hurt you. But in other ways, being a female is extremely helpful. You know, there's a lot more of kind of a conversational dichotomy when you're dealing with an inmate than if it were a male officer dealing with them. So rather than it being a confrontation, it turns into kind of an agreement.
Hmm. And in general, I mean, did you get to know the inmates at the facility where you worked? Is there any kind of rapport that develops there, or is it, you know, is there always some real sense of remove there?
You're always going to get to know your inmates in some way. You know, when you're posted in a unit for 6 months at a time, and it's you and then three other officers working that unit every single day. I mean, there's day and night watch, so it's four officers total that are in some of the smaller units. Really, there's no way that you can't, even if it's one with a high turnover rate. You know, they're always going to know you. You're always going to have that reputation. And that, again, will make or break you.
Mm-hmm. Like, is there any conversation that goes on with inmates? Do you end up learning anything about their lives or their personalities or anything?
There is always one that just wants to talk to you. Always. There is always going to be that one guy that, hey, can you just come over here for like 2 minutes? I just need to talk to you really quick. And then 45 minutes later, you're still stuck at that door and you can't get away from them.
So was it ever a job where you felt scared?
Absolutely. There's, even in a facility with such a low incident rate, you are still so very much in the minority that if anything happens, I mean, there are, at night, there are maybe one of you to 100 of them.
And you did it for what, a year? How long were you doing it for?
Almost 2.5 years. And at the end of that time, I can say that the biggest gift that job gave me was a very, very thick skin. Right? Like, right now I work in retail, and it is cake compared to that. Somebody was getting mad about having to clean up the dressing room. I'm like, really? I will take a dressing room over blood any day.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks very much to my guest, who was anonymous but generous with her time. Thanks also to everyone who's written an essay for WorkStew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today.
The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by sending an email to kate@workstew.com, by posting a comment on the WorkStew website, or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.